The Burning Truth with Casey Hendrickson.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to The Burning Truth. I am your host, Casey Hendrickson. It is Tuesday, which means I'll take you to church with Pastor Lucas Miles for a Tuesday tithe. Pastor Miles, I want to apologize to you today. I did not get you a story earlier to talk about because my day has basically been chaos. So that's on me. So we're going to wing it.
That's all right. I actually just sent you a text a few minutes ago.
Did you?
You probably haven't seen yet.
No, I haven't.
I have been one of the hot stories right now in kind of Christendom, we'll call it.
Are we going to talk about the event with the sword swallower?
I thought you would like that one. Yes, you're up for it.
This is what I was going to bring up to you. I'd actually saved it. I got a little folder for you in my show prep stack. And I was really curious about your take on this because it's kind of funny. Like, the audience seemed to be split about it as well. For those of you who don't know, there's a Christian conference in Missouri, and Pastor Mark Driscoll was kicked off stage after he criticized one of the acts, which involved a guy climbing on a pole, taking his shirt off, and swallowing a sword. And I wanted to get your take on this because, like I said, it looks like half of the audience was wanted him to come back. The other half was happy that he got kicked off of this stage. So tell us what your thoughts are.
Yeah, so I've been following this. First off, I've been on panels with Pastor Mark Driscoll before on Newsmax and other platforms. We've never actually met in person before. And the church this was at, it's called James River Church. They have several campuses in Missouri. Very, very large church. I mean, their men's conferences, I mean, it looks like it's a pretty packed stadium that they actually filled. Last year they had a tank. I think like Chuck Norris drove a tank in or something like that. I mean, they're doing just these massive kind of events, monster trucks, you know, performers, all of these things. And then they have these preaching sessions in between. Obviously, you know, depending on the background you come from, that's pretty outside of the box for most church men's conferences in terms of the experience there. Pastor Mark Driscoll, you know, he's been in the news over the years for a lot of different reasons. There was the Mars Hill podcast that was, really a negative podcast about him and centered on his church and ministry that he used to have. He kind of went dark for a little bit. Now is pastoring in Phoenix. From my vantage point, seems to be very committed to, historical biblical Christianity. I think he would align himself probably with a lot of the things that we would stand for at the American Pastor Project and influence and things like that as well. Although I'm sure that he and I have some differences and tone is one of them. So Driscoll gets up on the stage and kind of kneels down, takes his hat off, and takes on a very kind of fatherly approach to this and says, "Hey, I've been up all night. My voice is hoarse from praying about this." And there was a performer that had opened the conference the day before and had a pole and was kind of, you know, slinking up and down this pole, rips his shirt off, had kind of what looked like sort of like leather, you know, I mean, really kind of almost like fetish gear on. And he's a sword swallower, and he climbs up and down this pole, swallows the sword, does all this stuff. Looks like something you would see, like, you know, behind Madonna at a Grammys performance or something that would get called satanic the next day.
Right.
And it's also come out, and I can't verify this, but at least the rumors are that this individual was also at least at one time a male stripper. And that further complicates the story. Driscoll kind of rebukes this happening. He calls it the spirit of Jezebel. And kind of rebukes the audience. He says this is not addressed at anybody in particularly, in particular here, but that we've allowed this to kind of come into this event and it's not right. The pastor, John Lindell, who's the pastor of James River Church, he calls out Mark from the stage, says, "You're out of line, get off the stage." Mark finally goes, "This is your house. That's fine. I'll leave," and walks off. And then Pastor John gets up and kind of rebukes Mark for bringing this up without talking to him first. And so that's kind of phase one of what happened there, you know, for people. The internet's exploded over it. I did a video yesterday, Casey, that's already gotten 900,000 views on
TikTok. Really? Oh, man.
Yeah, so it, it's blown up.
Yeah, I saw like a little snippet of it. I think somebody had it like on a little circle GIF, you know, that was kind of showing. And I'm like, it doesn't look like something you typically find at a Christian conference. So I get why people are probably a little irritated by it. And you know, one of the things that I thought was interesting though is Lindell was like, "Hey, Driscoll didn't talk to me first. Why does he got to talk to you first?"
You know? So what Lindell's doing is he is trying to kind of call upon Matthew 18, where Jesus gives direction on how to deal with individual offenses and conflict. And he says to go to your brother first. If he doesn't listen to you, then, you know, go bring other witnesses. If they don't listen, then take it before the elders. And so there's sort of this process. Now, the problem is that Matthew 18 is really more about individual conflict,
right,
and not like a public offense. And so the counter argument to this would be, hey, this is something that happened publicly. It needs to be addressed publicly, sort of in the moment of what happened. Now, I don't know anything about James River Church. I've only recently heard about them in the last month or two. They kind of got on my radar, but it's a big operation. They're not this is not a church that's flying a rainbow flag. They actually bring in a lot of conservative speakers. They're just a giant mega church with big emphasis, it seems, on performance.
Okay.
And so they're not the typical woke church that you and I would talk about on Tuesdays, right?
Okay.
And so even the fact that they're bringing Driscoll in as a speaker, that's a certain flavor already of usually, you know, more conservative, more, you know, stronger masculinity, these sort of things that probably a lot of our audience would be excited about.
Mean like speaking up if you see a male stripper climb a pole and swallow a sword at a Christian conference?
Yes.
That form of masculinity of
that might actually do that. Now, I've been being told, because my video on TikTok has gone just crazy viral, and I've been told by a lot of people that, you know, like, there will be people that will post and say, hey, my husband was actually at that event and walked out when the performance happened. You know, there was a lot of people that left. There were people that felt uncomfortable.
And I don't mean to interrupt, but that's something I was going to bring up earlier, so I'm glad you brought that up. Because if he doesn't address it publicly, then he's offering tacit support for what happened, and there's going to be a lot of people who leave that event based on that. And I don't have anything wrong with a church who wants to do performance and make church an enjoyable experience, but, you know, setting up a stripper pole and having somebody get half naked and swallow stuff probably isn't the best thing to do at a Christian conference. And at the very least, Lindell can go, hey, his shirt off. Or we didn't realize that there was going to be a pole here, but we just brought in this carnival act because we thought it'd be entertaining. And he took it a little too far and we're sorry, but that isn't what happened.
Exactly. Now, you know, did Driscoll probably overly project, you know, some sort of sexualized position on this performer, possibly?
Okay.
You know, I think you go to a Cirque du Soleil, you go to some of these different things, you expect the people to wear, you know, certain, you know, looks and these things.
Sure.
And so, you know, if I'm trying to be reasonable on both sides, you know, I could certainly make a case for that. I do think that Mark did the right thing by bringing up something about it. It probably wasn't just that performer that needed to be addressed. There's probably multiple things within that context that needed to be addressed. Mark wasn't able to share them all. Now, what happened afterwards, and I didn't realize this right away, the pastor ends up bringing Mark back up on the stage later. Now, I guess a lot of people had left after Mark was kicked off. There was other people that walked out at that time as well. But Pastor Mark and Pastor John sit down, and they have a conversation. And I've watched this. And from what I can tell, Mark did not directly apologize for what he said or necessarily recant his position,
mm-hmm.
but he did apologize for not saying something to Pastor John beforehand, because they had about 30 minutes that they had talked before Mark went on stage, and Pastor John was like, there was plenty of time for you to bring that up to me. Now, the interesting new thing that is that, you know, and again, I generally think Mark has some great content. I don't know him personally. Mm-hmm. It's not an endorsement or anything like that. But Mark also had a new book that just dropped this week called New Days, Old Demons, that is about sort of this kind of, you know, spiritual influence and demonic force and this sort of thing. And so, you know, there are people that are accusing him that this was a big publicity stunt, that he was going up there and, you know, it started a live stream afterwards where
did he hire the sword swallower though? I mean, for it to be a publicity stunt, wouldn't he have been the guy that did it?
Yeah, so I don't buy that there was some sort of, you know, joint effort between the conference and Mark and the Sword Swallower to do this whole thing just so he could sell a bunch of books. I think that's complete garbage. Now, you know, did he take an opportunity to you know, jump on a topic with a new book coming out? I'd like to think that that's not Mark's heart, you know, and there's certainly a bunch of accusations about that with him, of people trying to counter the other side. But I think that he has, you know, when you're writing a book like this, you're hyper-focused on these things. And so he's seeing something that he's writing about, thinking about, and this is just me projecting kind of my mindset on this. You're a little bit more sensitive to things when you're focused on that, as you probably should be in this situation. And he got on the stage, and he was calling it out in a very pastoral way. He was actually one of the more gentle rebukes I've ever seen Mark do. You know, he certainly has rebuked other people before,
yeah.
And this felt very fatherly. You know, when he was doing it, it felt like a lot of love was kind of motivating this. And he wasn't ever really able to finish saying everything he wanted to say before he was kicked off. The two did seem to have some sort of reconciliation by the end. Mark joked that you probably shouldn't have me back next year, and you should really pray about that if you ever want me to come speak here again. You know, and I'm not saying that Pastor John is you know, a heretic who's, you know, going to hell in gasoline underwear, but I definitely think there was some stuff there that was misguided and could have really been avoided. And now it seems like a lot of people are talking about leaving that church because of this and the concern that they have around it.
Well, and, you know, based on just what I've seen here, and for the record, like, I'm not critical of the performer, everybody. Like, this performer probably does this as their act, and this is just a part of their act. I'm assuming there was an audition where this was presented to whoever hired him, and they approved it, and I'm just going to, for the sake of argument here, assume that he did not deceive them in his clothing or his routine. So
fair assumption. Yep.
Pure assumption. But, you know, again, but Pastor Driscoll, as you pointed out, I mean, he was taking a pretty, I would call, a polite tone. And I think he was trying to do it out of respect for John Lindell. And at the same time, he didn't want to go to him first because he didn't want to remove an opportunity to address something that he felt needed to be addressed. And if he had gone to John Lindell, John Lindell may very well have said, well, you can't say anything about it, or you don't speak. And, you know, this happens all the time in our circle. So I can see
I can tell you as a guest speaker that situation has happened. You know, not that situation. That
right, but happens to me all the time.
Somebody's offended about something.
Sure.
And you want to say something. And look, I've been in the position where I've had to say something to a group and say, hey, you know what? I think that this needs addressed. And it takes a very humble kind of conference facilitator or senior leader there to say, you know what, I think you're right. In fact, either let me address it, and I'm going to do what needs to be done. And if that's not satisfactory, then you feel free to correct me. Or let's do that together. Or, hey, Mark brought this to my attention, and I think this is fair. Let's address it, you know, here. And I think that, again, it's not that I'm not opposed to somebody having performances at church. Does this seem excessive? Sure, the kind of stuff they're doing this conference seems a little bit excessive for that type of event, but I'm not going to necessarily judge, you know, somebody else's ministry in that way. The methodologies I'm less concerned about than the doctrine. But there seem to be multiple opportunities that this could have been corrected. And the one thing I don't see from Pastor John in any of this, and now maybe he's released something since that I haven't seen yet, but is any sort of kind of acknowledgement that, you know, Mark's perspective, you know, was fair, or that there might have been some merit in this and they need to reconsider some things that they're doing. And that's something that I would have liked to have heard, you know, from him as a pastor kind of looking for that,
yeah,
that balance and somebody willing to embrace correction.
Yeah. In retrospect, we probably shouldn't have hired a half naked guy to climb a stripper pole and swallow a sword.
It doesn't seem like the best. There used to be this group, and maybe I don't know if you're aware of this or not. There used to be a group called the Power Team.
Okay,
and they would go around, and they were like these just, you know, manly men, like He-Man looking guys. They would rip phone books in half.
I remember those guys. Yeah,
and pop them. Yeah, they would do all that sort of stuff, and then they would like share their testimony about Jesus. Now, if one of those dudes got up on a stage, ripped a phone book in half, and then ripped his shirt off and then gave his testimony, I honestly, like, that might not be your flavor either, but I wouldn't even flinch about that happening in a men's conference. I wouldn't care. There's nothing in, like, with a group of guys being there and, like, kind of rah-rah, like, you know, testosterone-driven, like, there's nothing about that that feels hypersexualized.
Right.
But when you put a pole there and somebody's flinking around on it and walking like a model, it changes. You know, both have their shirt off.
Yeah.
One feels, you know, passable. The other one feels very, very wrong.
Yeah, I get it. Hey, Pastor Miles, we went a little bit long, but how can people reach you?
Hey, no, thank you so much. So, yeah, lucasmiles.org, Influence Church, 10 a.m., no polls, no dancers. Come on out.
Hopefully you'll get a tank so we can squish some cars, though. That'd be fun. All right, Pastor Miles, appreciate it.
Good.
You take care. We got more coming up on The Burning Truth.
Podcasts by Federated Media.